You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The tournament is finally here. The brackets have been set and teams are ready to hit the court. And DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy, is celebrating with their largest free college basketball survivor pool ever. How large? $1 million in total prizes up for grabs. That big enough for you? And if that's not enough, check this out. When you enter the free DraftKings $1 million survivor pool, you could get a shot at winning $10,000 for every upset through the first two rounds of the tournament. It's easy to play. Just pick one team per day, and if they survive, you advance to the next round. Last person standing is the winner. Remember, you can only pick a team once for the entire tournament, so choose wisely. Get in on all of this week's action. Download the DraftKings app now and enter promo code THPN during signup and enter the free $1 million survivor pool. Again, that's code THPN to enter the DraftKings free $1 million survivor pool. Eligibility restrictions and terms and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Hello and good day, San Jose, and welcome to the Stick Hungry Podcast, your home of the San Jose Sharks on the Hockey Podcast Network. My name is Dylan Kayser, and I'm joined in studio by VI Sports Talk here, Isha Jerome, eating some noodles apparently in the live stream. It's kind of rude. But we got Nick Floor as well and Kyle McLaren. Boys, how are we doing? Isha, I'll start with you. How are the noodles?
How are those noodles? Shitty noodles, man.
Shitty noodles?
Wow. 11 grams of protein, though, which is nice because they're egg noodles, but it's okay, like...
Okay, well, give people at least a warning. Like, what kind of noodles are they so they don't have to buy them and go through this misery? All right,
they're called naked noodle, and they're Chinese chow mein style, but, man, you might as well just... If you're going to get dried noodles, go with Mr. Noodles.
I'm telling you, that's why we bring this guy on the show. Great noodle talk. Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. Got the... I got my second shot for the COVID-19 vaccination yesterday. So I'm a little under the weather, but I'm all right.
So do you I guess you still have to wear a mask and stuff, but do you care about it as much after getting the vaccination? Up to people breathing on them?
No. See, it's unfortunate I can't do that anymore now that COVID's thin. I'm kidding. I still wear the mask, obviously, at work and everywhere that's required. Like, I don't really do anything anyways as it is. It just means that I can't really get it, but I can still be a carrier so I'm still going to care about the people around me and I'm still going to wear masks. So
there you go. Being responsible. I like it. Kyle, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Watched golf all day today.
That's a hell of a,
again, it's Sunday. So you know, the finals were on and watched that all day and actually sitting here watching highlights right now.
And we actually have a comment from your boy SV saying cool tree in the background.
Hey, my mama's place.
I love it.
And I move spots from where I usually sit. So I'm just sitting on the couch right now, watching TV, talking to you guys.
Mama's got better Wi-Fi.
No, she doesn't. No.
Your boy SV also saying, I had Mr. Noodle yesterday, but never dry.
Well, I was implying that you add water to them, Shane.
He says, I just poured some coffee. It's and warm. It's warm.
I just cracked the beer. It's warm.
Producer T could not make it this episode. Little too much warm beer. Too much warm Lucky Lager in the system.
He's a little scared of that pigeon. I keep hearing that producer pigeon is just keeping him on his toes. And right now he's
on our toes. The pigeon, like, I don't know where he's at.
I haven't seen him today, actually.
I know.
I haven't seen pigeon around today. It is frightening.
Look out the window. He's just on the balcony staring at us, watching us as we speak. He retweeted this. So,
well, we got producer Chi like in a public park and we had pigeon up in a tree. So, I mean, we'll go far to make this guy scared. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Content.
Hey, it doesn't look like it takes much to make him scared.
No, that's true. That's true. That's why we do it. Or laugh. And when he was our producer for live radio, it was the worst because like he would look at us and he would be the first one to be like, we're like, no, stop, stop. You're going to fuck this up.
Every time you mumbled or you messed up a word, he would start laughing. And it was like, stop. It was not easy.
And then he wouldn't go to commercial. He would just let us sit there laughing in studio. I'm like, dude, do something. We love you, producer.
Great producer. Great. He does a great job around here. Boys, let's give a shout out to our Twitter handles. You can follow myself at @DYL_THPN. You can follow the show at @StickHungryPod. And you can follow the network at HockeyPodNet. Isha?
You can find myself at VI Sports Talk.
Nick?
Find me at @NickFloor_.
And finally, Kyle?
McLaren_K.
There we have it. There we have it. All right, boys. What should we start off with? Should we give a rundown of Doug Wilson's quick talk to the media the other day?
Yeah, I think it was important. A lot of people thought they would hear one thing and they heard another. So yeah. I think it's interesting. If you haven't, you can go back to the Sharks website. You can take a look at I think it's a full 30-minute video. Excuse me. And you can actually listen to what he's saying and kind of how
his after you're done listening to the live stream, though, watch it after the live stream.
Yeah, don't skip this. but the word he continued to use throughout the conference was reset. He wouldn't use the word rebuild. I don't know if it's just not in his vocabulary or if it's just forbidden to say that in San Jose, but he just kept talking about using the word reset and resetting the team after last year's disappointment and building around the current core as opposed to going for that full rebuild that we've kind of hinted towards.
You know, it doesn't surprise me that he only came out and said retool rather than rebuild. I mean, because at this point, what else is he supposed to say? I mean, with the position that the Sharks are in, we kind of know that a full rebuild isn't going to happen. He still has a lot of guys on the roster that he's paying a lot of money to that should be performing well. So, I wasn't too surprised by his comments, to be honest with you.
I'll tell you this. You went a reset, a retool. They're in a rebuild. They need to rebuild. But the contracts they have and the lengths of contracts they have is, you know, they have to. I mean, Eric Carlson came out, I think it was this morning or yesterday, saying, you know what, I didn't sign here for a rebuilding mode. But again, it's the contracts they have is how do you do that? Do you mean, like, who can you get rid of right now when it's a flat cap? And I heard this morning that it may be flat again next year. So I don't know. You mean, again, to me, they're just – It's like a freaking truck stuck in tires, mud right now. But I don't see them like retooling. Yeah, I get it. But they need to basically do it a full rebuild of this whole team.
Yeah, and I mean, he mentions giving more time to the young guys, which is great. That's what you want to see right now. But the problem is these young guys, they're just going to be complementary pieces to any team that they're on. Like, let's be honest. These aren't the game changers here. These aren't the pillars that you build a team around. So we somehow have to find those young players. And how do you do that? I mean, the only way is to draft. And if we're not drafting in the top 10, well, your chances go down a lot. So, I mean, we're going to need some top draft picks in the next, you know, 2-3 years. I don't know if we're going to get them, though. I mean, if we keep all the guys that we have and we don't trade them off down the road, I mean, we're still going to be a mediocre team. Not terrible, but not good.
Yeah, not to mention Wilson openly stated that he's not trading the first round pick this year, which is what we expected. You know, they're not in a position to do that, to compete. It's just interesting how he keeps saying that they're going to reset, but they're going to build around the bones of the team that they have now with LeBanc, Couture, Hurdle, but when you look at the guys that are going to be up within the next couple of years, you know, the Merkleys, the Bordalos, those type of players, like the Couture and the Hurdles and the Burns are going to be at the twilight, you know, or as Randy Hahn likes to say, the back nine of their career. So are they still going to be the bones of a good team or a core of a good team that you can build the young players around? I don't think that you're going to actually be able to do that. And then not to mention, he said that he doesn't see why the Sharks couldn't make the playoffs next season. It's like, well, I have a couple of reasons I can see why the Sharks aren't going to fucking make the playoffs next year. Yeah. I don't know. It just seemed kind of like he's doubling down on what he wants to do. And he's not going to go through that rebuild process where he gets rid of big contracts and big names to acquire draft capital. He's just going to use what he has to see if he can retool it. And I don't know if that's necessarily going to work.
Do you think it's partially because he's trying to save his job to an extent? You know, if the team, maybe we squeak out a playoff appearance next season or the year after. You know, I don't think we're going to be a Stanley Cup contender, but if he can get us to the playoffs, maybe he keeps his job for another 2, 3, 4 seasons. But if we go into a full rebuild and things go terribly the next 2 years, I mean, he could lose his job. I don't know.
What has he been in there since, what, 2002, 2003? Is that when he
came in? He's been there for a while until he missed the playoffs twice.
I don't think, if you're going to do a reset, retool kind of thing, getting into the playoffs is not going to be good enough for these guys. And to me, is that's going to be questionable too. It's a rebuild, yeah, you try to get in the playoffs, like the Ottawa's or something like that. But you know what? Something has to change, and I just don't know what it is.
Yeah, because if you're just looking at playoff appearances as like a good goal, you're just kind of sticking yourself in purgatory there.
Especially with the players they have and the contracts they have, they should go further, but they're not.
Yeah. Just an update, guys. Producer Pigeon saying, I am watching you guys. A little bit unsettling. The Hockey Minute also with the comments on Twitter saying, Sharks are like Detroit, longtime contenders, but just with no cups.
I don't know. Detroit's got some hardware.
Yeah. I mean, I think he means we're like Detroit, but just minus the cups.
Yeah.
Well, one thing that was funny, guys, is that Erik Karlsson, when he addressed the media a couple of days ago, you know, he made comments, you know, compare just like what you said, that he didn't want to come to a team that's going to rebuild. He wanted to come to a team that could compete. And he said some things along the lines of that, like, I was already on a team that was rebuilding for so long. But you know what's funny about that is if you look at like a 7-year stretch of him playing with Ottawa, they made the playoffs like 5 times. They made the Eastern Conference, what, twice or at least once in that? And we're potentially one goal away from, you know, dominating in a Stanley Cup final. So he had more success in the playoffs and more playoff time, you know, in Ottawa than, I don't know, maybe he's going to get with his time here in the with the San Jose Sharks, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah, it is crazy. Because when we got him, we thought, you know what? This could be the guy. This could bring us the Stanley Cup. And
that was the idea until he pulled a dick and then he still did amazing in the playoffs for the Sharks.
He pulled a what?
I know, that's what I was thinking.
He pulled a dick muscle. He pulled a groin, Kyle.
Okay, there you go.
I got you. Well, you look at Ottawa too. Like the way the team was built was they didn't have a lot of money in players. Like you look, Hoffman was young, Stone was still young. They all were on respectable contracts. You know, Turris was on a decent deal at the time. They had the Hamburglar come out of nowhere, and they had decent goaltending throughout the whole time with some veterans on the back end. And like Mathot was like one of the best defensive partners for Erik Karlsson. So. It was funny. I kind of laughed a bit and chuckled when he almost took a shot at Ottawa there. But I was like, no, man, like you're in a way worse situation now than you were with that team.
If you look at like the cup winning teams over the last decade, there's like a formula to the success. If you look at the Kings, you know, they had Kopitar when they won their 2 cups. They had Kopitar on like very, very good team friendly contracts. Right. We're talking like ELCs. So. Yeah, you look at the Blackhawks when they won, and you look at even technically the Lightning, there's a bit of a formula that's worked the last 10 years. You know, you get 3 to 4 top 10 picks, you build around those picks, and then you pursue forward. Like, I don't know when Colorado drafted like Landeskog or Rantanen, but it wasn't anytime relatively soon. Like they drafted them around 8 or 9 years ago, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, Landeskog was in the same draft as Taylor Hall.
Yeah. So, I mean, you look at that and you see where that team is at now. And they had to unload a big name in Matt Duchene to acquire picks and capital to get the MacKinnon and the Cale Makar that they had, right? So, like, you look at Hurdle and you look at Couture and you look at Evander Kane, like, those guys could be the Duchene of this team where you have to unfortunately bid farewell to them, but you get them at a high point as far as sale value. But it just seems like Doug Wilson just refuses to do that.
Yeah, but you mean, like I said, is the cap is flat. So how do you get rid of them? Like right now, I mean, nobody's going to take on a contract that's more than $6 million unless it's a superstar younger player. I just don't see any other team adding that to their roster right now.
Not this year.
Well, I think those guys that we were talking about, like Meyer and Hurdle, I mean, I don't think teams look at that and are too concerned about the money. I mean, at the end of the day, they can ship $2 million back in another player, whatever it may be.
I guess it's not cash.
Yeah, it's not the same situation as a Carlson or a Burns where it's like, okay, that's a lot of money and this guy's underperforming.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Hurdle would be like the number one contender for that like move out type of player. So,
and you can get great value for a guy like that. You get
he's making essentially the same money as Jones.
Yeah, exactly. And we all know how we love Martin Jones over here.
Good. Hey, he played okay yesterday.
Yeah, no, he did. He did.
Yeah, he's great backup. Who'd have thought?
Right.
Anything else from the presser that we want to talk about? Well, no, Vander Kane, you know, they're saying they're committed to Kane's contract. But, I mean, at the end of the day, what are they supposed to say?
He's in his problems. I mean, he's in his own problems. It's not the team's problems. He has his own problems. And whatever they do there, they're going to do. But, yeah, I mean, he's still performing at a okay level. I wouldn't say a high level.
He's doing pretty fucking great right now.
But, again, that's right now. I mean, again, it's yearly basis. You know what I mean, again, you can go on a streak for a week or five games or whatever it is. But consistency right now with the whole team is not there.
I mean, just to quote Doug Wilson, when they're asking about committing to Evander and Evander actually committing to the Sharks, he's like, yes and yes. Is he getting support and guidance? Yes, he is. On his personal issues, he has legal counsel, and they represent him in that area. We are committed to Evander. And, I mean, Evander's done really well. He's had, I think, 13 points in his last 10 games. So, they're multiple times you hear players looking at, like Dylan Gambrell said after the game, that people are buying into the system now. And of course, it's easy to say that after you beat a really shitty Ducks team, but you're starting to see the big number or the big money guys are scoring finally for the Sharks. And
I want to see against Vegas and Colorado and Minnesota. You know what I mean? Like the bigger teams. I mean, LA and Anaheim, come on. I mean, those are must win games. And
it's baby steps. Kyle. We need to win some games. You got to beat up on the weak teams like the Ducks.
Well, you should. I mean, they're California teams. That's the ones you want to beat up on. But you know what? I think we're included in the Ducks and the Kings. I just think we're better than them, but we're not to the standards of the Knights or the Avalanche right now. And I mean, those are the standards again for the Western Conference. That we're not there yet.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, Dylan, one thing
on Evander Kane is like, Kyle, if he stops scoring and he goes on a dry streak there in the goal department, then that's when I think Doug Wilson will stop ignoring the Banks calls.
Yeah,
because it kind of affects the team. Like I know it's his issue, but
he has to score. Do you know what I mean? For the Sharks to win, he has to perform at a high level, just like Hurdle. Just like Couture, LeBanc. I mean, there's a lot of players. Burns. You know what I mean, they have to score. If they don't score, the Sharks don't have a chance to win.
I'll say this about Kane. He has surprised me this year. I thought with all this going on in the background, he might have an off year. But, Nick, like you're saying, he has 13 points in 10 games. He's looking unreal right now. So I'm liking it.
I think he actually leads the team in points now. I'm not sure if it's him or if it's still Couture, but with his streak that he's gone on these last 10 games, he's leapfrogged players, but that's what you're paying him to do. So it's nice to see the dollar sign coefficient match the points. Yep. So let's
talk about that Ducks game on Friday. 6-0 win for the San Jose Sharks. I mean, I never thought I would see the day. I really didn't.
That Ducks team was bad. I know we had Nate Thomas on. And he talked about, I think the Ducks are going to squeak away like a win or something like this. It's like, no, like that team is incredibly bad right now. And it just showed in every facet of the game, all 200 feet, defensive zone, neutral zone, offensive zone. They couldn't get shit through. Obviously, Dubnyk shut them out and they only allowed one goal in game two. or Jones only allowed one goal. And if you can only score one goal on Jones, like, whew, you got some problems. But but yeah, I mean, game one, 6 goals and 6 different goal scorers at that. So
that's what you want to see. Yeah, Dubnyk played really well. I mean, the Anaheim Ducks had a lot of shots in that game, especially through the first two periods. I mean, they had, I think, 10 or 12 more shots than the San Jose Sharks. We picked it up in the third period with all those goals. But yeah, no complaints from me. I think the team was awesome that game.
Yeah, I mean, they did what they were supposed to do. Like Kyle said, they're beating the teams that they're supposed to beat. It's like, okay, if you look at win percentage of the teams that had that tournament off, like the COVID Cup, yep, or whatever you guys want to call it, the win percentages for the teams that had the time off has been really low. I think the team that's number one is the Kings right now, and the team that's number two is the Sharks. So yep, the Sharks, maybe they're starting to find a rhythm. They're starting to buy into the system. Erik Karlsson continues to make everyone look sillier than shit on the ice now. You know, he's not, doesn't look like he's working with an injury now. And you see Dubnyk's great play kind of rub off on the team. You got Gabriel in the lineup just absolutely mowing people down any second that he can. I mean, the forechecking from the fourth line was so aggressive. Frederik Hanmark had 2 grade A opportunities to score. The second one he cashed in for his first NHL goal, so congratulations on that.
And that was a great first NHL goal, by the way. Great goal.
Oh, yeah. It was absolutely amazing to see him like stick lift the guy after a good forecheck between him and Marlowe and then just slide it right past Miller was just great to see. Something that we wanted to see from a fourth line center, you know, coming into this year with that big question mark at that position. But the first one, you see Curtis Gabriel just on a fucking line towards Cam Fowler, and Cam Fowler's just like, ah! And just throws the puck out in front and tries to dodge the hit, but it goes right to Hanmark and he just can't seem to get it past. I think it was Gibson who was in net at that time.
See, what noise was that again?
I can't recreate it. I'm right? Sorry.
Now you're getting pretty good.
So, it was just good to see. Like, the Sharks were kind of clicking in every aspect of the game, and it starts with goaltending and team defense, and it kind of just spreads out from there. You saw the Ducks get frustrated, and they started to make the little mistakes, and the big guns started to make them pay.
And we saw another fight, which is always good to see. Always good to see.
Did you guys see the hit,
guy though? In the league, you know, beating the piss out of people. I love it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yes. What do you think, Kyle? Do you like the grit that he's added to this team so far?
Yes, he does. But again, it's you're playing against the Ducks and the Kings.
Hey, you still got to fight. You still got to fight another big ass.
They didn't even play against the Kings, though. I don't know why you keep saying the Kings.
But it's just, I don't know. I mean, there's something that is missing still, but the grit that he brings is much needed. And again, if he plays, you mean 5 minutes a game or 10 minutes a game, as long as he adds value. But right now, he's not devaluing the team when he's on the ice. He's helping them in the energy and everything he brings. So I enjoy him. I mean, I watch like his fights, and I enjoy watching him on Twitter too. So.
Look, he ain't Rafi Torres, but he'll do.
He'll do. Well, another thing too, I mean, when a team is like the Sharks, that we've been out of it for a while and like a couple seasons here, it's nice to see a guy going out there willing to fight for the team. It shows you that this team actually still does care right now. Yep. Because it does come into question sometimes when the record is this bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Shang Peng tweeted out that he was up in the press box, and when Jones made that glove save on Heinen in game 2, he could hear Curtis Gabriel just bashing his stick on the boards for Martin Jones. So it's, you know, it's nice to see someone be a catalyst or have a heart, you know, because we've criticized them a lot for having no heart. So it's nice to see someone be that beating heart to the team that other players and the fans specifically can kind of rally around and move from there.
Yeah, totally. And then we beat the Sharks. We beat the Ducks 3-1 on Saturday. Another great game from the team, honestly. You could say it was just as good as the 6-0 win. Defensively, I feel like they were a lot better that game. Obviously, didn't put up the 6 goals. But, you know, Gambrell, he pots into goal. He's been playing extremely well the last little while. So that was nice to see.
Yeah, that was his first of the year. And he was down there taking on 3 different Ducks players plus Ryan Miller and still finds a way to get a stick on the puck and get it in there. And then right after he scores, everyone's selling. Like, a Ducks player slaps his visor and like knocks his helmet off his head. He's like, ah, fuck you, dude. I just scored. I'm like, look at your record. Like, so I don't know. It's nice to see the most snake bitten shark finally get on the score sheet.
Yep. No, they played a great game. Again, it's 3-1. They're playing better defensively and getting better goaltending and keeping the high, what do you guys call it? Like the high
danger velocity. Chances.
Yes. Out of the danger. You know what?
Kyle, did you just say the high shot velocity?
No, I don't know what you guys call it. Nick calls it something freaking.
And it's coined, but
yeah. I've never heard of it. And again, I'm not a big analytic person. I watch the game. Yeah. But again, that's what I do. But again, it's they're keeping the puck out of the front of the net. Make Jones or Dubnyk save the first one and get it the fuck out of there.
Hey, what I liked about Jones in that second game was the rebound control. He wasn't spitting out those rebounds, and we've had problems with that all season. So, I think that was an improvement there.
Yeah.
A big criticism that I kind of saw for the Sharks was they started hot out of the iron or whatever you want to call it in the first period. They would pepper quite a few shots, get a lot of offensive zone time, but then it seemed like with about 5 to 7 minutes left in the first, Anaheim was just smothering them in the zone consistently. To Kyle's point, you can't do that against the better teams. You can't do that against the Vegases and the Colorados because they're going to make you pay for it. You can't do that against Minnesota Wild because Kaprizov is going to make you look like a child. Dude, out there on the ice
lately.
Yeah, literally anyone on the Wild that's in the top six. So,
and how many times have we seen in the past where we have a good game but a bad 10 minutes and we lose the game in those 10 minutes?
Yeah, too often.
It only takes one or two shifts to turn a game around. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
That's some Tortorella shit right there. Boys, it only takes two shifts. One or two shifts. Let's go.
Get out there, Curtis. Smash all right, let's go.
Fucking pound some bodies. Score some goals.
I rewatched that HBO one. That it was like Flyers in New York. And I think it was like the second of the Winter Classic.
Those were so good.
Well, HBO only did it for two seasons. I think the NHL just had their own team to go and do it. But when HBO did it. Oh, no, they did three because there was one with Detroit and I think the Maple Leafs too. But anyways, the second one with Torts and Laviolette when he was behind the bench of the Flyers, that was amazing because Torts didn't care. He's like, I hate that the cameras are in here, but they're here and I ain't going to change, boys. So let's – and he just starts going off. And I love at the end of all his just rampage, everyone, all right, let's go. Yeah.
I love it. Now we got Sutter back in the league. We're seeing more fights. It's old school hockey, boys.
The more
things
change, the more they stay the same.
I love Daryl Sutter. He's such a beauty.
Yeah, he's a character. He's a character. All right, boys. Any other thoughts about these two games? I mean, there's not much to talk about. It's just the Ducks, right? So
yeah.
Once we beat a better team, we'll talk a little more about it.
We got Vegas on Monday. When the episode drops Monday, we'll be going against Vegas and we'll be put to the test. Okay, if you guys are buying into the system, if the goaltending's where you want it to be, if the team defense is where it wants to be, then put it to a real test, and that's Vegas. So no excuses.
You're going against one of the top teams in the league. I want to see consistency now. As they did it the last couple of games, I want to see it a third game to keep improving. You know,
yeah. I want to see Kane and Curtis fight Reeves.
At the same time, a 2-1?
No. Like one fights him in the first, one fights him in the third.
That's the thing, though. Like in the last 10 games, Kane has only had like two penalty minutes. It's like, finally Bob sat him down and was like, look, you make this much money. Well, you don't make no fucking money.
I was going to say, you don't make any money anymore.
This is what we pay the bank, okay? And you're supposed to be scoring, not sitting in the sin bin all fucking game. So stop with the bullshit. And look, the less time he spends in the penalty box, the more opportunities he has for shots on goal. So it the math is simple. Stay out of the fucking penalty box.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Another thing, Rudolph Balcers was out both games against the Ducks. I expect him back in the lineup Monday against Vegas. They said he was a little nicked up. I don't know how I feel about that term, but he's a little nicked up, so hopefully he'll slot back in. You'll see Nieto go back down, as well as Couture was a little sore at the end of the second game after a hit from Hawk and Paw. So He should still be in the game against Vegas.
So. Nick, what was the name of the line there that he's on, that Balsers is on?
Oh, the Meyer Hurdle Balsers line, the My Balls Hurt line.
That's so perfect. I love that. I love it.
It fits, right?
No, it totally
fits. It's too good. It's too good.
No, and Balsers has been great this year. It just sounds dirty every time you say his name, but he has been good this year.
His first and last name are plural, so it's so weird to say Rudolph's Balsers. It's like his what now?
Yeah.
Get that checked out, bud.
He got ulcers on his what? All right, boys. I think that's enough about the Ducks. Should we get into the fool we be pitying? I think it's a good time.
Yeah, I like this one.
Let's get right into it.
I pity the fool.
All right, we're going to be going after some producers, actually, on this Fool We Be Pitying. The producers of ABC 10.
They're going to say Pigeon and Tea.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're both not here, so maybe that's why they saw this coming. I'm going to pull this up on the screen here, but basically the producers at ABC 10 royally fucked up when they were showing the San Jose Sharks.
And this is something package. That us Canadians are like, this is textbook this Americans is- reporting on hockey.
Absolutely.
I expect when ESPN takes over.
Hey, well, with the amount that they're paying for it, I think they're going to do all right.
All right, so we're going to play the clip here. This is a good one.
The San Jose Sharks hosting the Vegas Golden Knights for back-to-back games this weekend. Team Teal took the L in overtime last night, and they were looking to avoid their third straight loss at the Tank. The Sharks playing their seventh straight game at home. They've been, and this is not the Sharks that we're talking about, but the Sharks did lose tonight 4-0 the final, and we'll be back right after this.
It's a whole clip. Everyone on the podcast, it's just a whole clip of actual sharks in the ocean.
Oh my god.
The explanation was like the producers I guess in the show prep, they sent like a producer script to the producers and they were like, sharks clip for this, but they didn't write like San Jose or hockey sharks, and they used that clip in a story earlier that day about said ocean sharks.
And like some guy getting his arm eaten off or something.
And the producer was like, oh, sharks, we already got that teed up. I don't even have to to move it.
Oh, man. It was beautiful.
ABC. Oh, my God.
Love it.
It was a great clip, too. I mean, they got that shark flipping in midair, you know?
Yeah, well, and it was nothing against the host. The host actually made light of it. It was like, this is not the right sharks clip. and she was the one who actually tweeted out like what happened, like the explanation with the producers. So.
Yeah, no, she did a good job with it. Yeah, she caught it awesome. Right away.
It's all in good fun, but it was just something that, I mean, it made my wife crack up. She saw that. I was like, look, it's for our Fool We Be Pitying segment. She was like, I don't get it. It's just talk about you guys sucking. And then she saw the shark. She was like, ah, shit.
Oh, that's awesome. A staple segment here on the Stick Hungry podcast.
No,
from day one, this segment's been around.
No, I'm happy we brought it back because, you know, we tend to be fools quite often, so it's nice to pick on someone else for being a fool.
Right? Man, last year there were so many from the Billy Peters incident to like it was just nuts to Babcock, like it was just nuts.
Yeah. All right, boys. Anything else we want to touch on before we get out of here? Do you guys watch Mike Tyson Mysteries or what?
Oh my god, it's so good.
You keep reminding me and I keep forgetting.
Like, it's only every episode's 10 minutes. 10 minutes. You can squeeze one in.
Yeah, no, it's not that. It's just got so much other shit going on that it's just...
Fair enough.
Okay. I'll set a reminder. Okay.
It's worth just how crazy it is and how...
Producer T watched it, said he couldn't get through one episode. And they're 10 minutes.
I mean, he didn't give it a chance.
He didn't give it a chance.
The old college try. Speaking of the college try...
What show is that again?
Mike Tyson Mysteries.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen it.
It's on Netflix. Go watch it. 10 minutes.
All right.
Speaking of the old college try, shout out to the Hockey Podcast Network's college show, Everything College Hockey. Pucks and Deep's the name of the podcast, but the Everything College Hockey Network. If you're an NCAA fan, they have everything in regards to the tournament going on right now covered. The Gophers actually just won in overtime there, and they're just tweeting that out, as well as daily highlight packages, too. So go check them out. Everything College Hockey.
And they had John Leonard on the show, I think, like 4 or 5 episodes
ago. Yeah, something like that.
So definitely worth a listen.
But yeah, again, if you're a fan of college hockey and the tournament's going on right now, they got you covered, and they're tweeting as we speak. So check them out again.
There you have it. There you have it. All right, boys, let's give a shout out to our Twitter handles. You can follow myself at DYL_THPN. You can follow the show at Stick Hungry Pod, and you can follow the network at Hockey Pod Net. Isha?
You find myself at VI Sports Talk, and I tweeted you at Naked Noodle UK. Your noodles suck.
Your noodles suck. You heard it here first. Nick, where can the fans find you?
You can find me at @NickFloor_.
And Kyle?
McLaren_K, and don't suck the noodles.
Don't suck the noodles.
Yeah, hey, those noodles
honey,
suck.
Can we put, suck the can noodles. We put that on a t-shirt? Don't yeah. suck the noodles.
All right. Don't suck the noodles. What? I got. Thanks, Kyle.
Right?
Is that supposed to mean something that I'm missing here?
No, like, let's just. It's over.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it. Yeah, it's over. All right. On that note, see you, folks.